Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the confessional here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, this was sent to us by a guy named Stephen Fairclough. He says, I just did something stupid. As I walked out to take the trash out tonight, a guy called out from across the street and asked if I had jumper cables and if I could jump his car. Always eager to help with a car problem, I agreed and pulled my 1955 Chevy pickup around. I jumped out of the truck, leaving it running, and pulled out my girlfriend's jumper cables and instructed the guy to connect them to his car. After correcting him on which cable to connect to which terminal, I promptly turned around and reached into the inky shadows of my truck and attached the cables to my battery. It sparked a little, but hey, the car was running. As I stood there explaining how a charging battery generates hydrogen gas, I noticed the jumper cable was smoking. As I peered closer in the dark at the cable, everything soon became clear because the cable burst into flame. I tried to disconnect the cable, but it was too hot, so I just burned myself. As the insulation burned away and the exposed wire began sparking, I pulled off my shirt and began feverishly beating out the flames, sending molten plastic insulation flying like napalm everywhere, including my now bare skin. What are we laughing for?
Because it didn't happen to us.
Once the fire was extinguished, I looked at the cables that I had connected to the terminals. They were backwards.
Duh.
So this little story brings me to my suggestion. You guys should have a confessional section where people call in and confess their automotive sins. Hopefully, this will help us remain humble in all things, mechanical, automotive, and etc. Just a suggestion.
Oh, so you could do it anonymously.
You could.
Change your name.
But I thought we should do it for each other right now. You can mention something that was as stupid as that I've done, because I know something as stupid as that you've done.
But we only have an hour's show.
Well, I remember doing something really stupid like that once. I forgot what I was actually up to, but I know that the valve cover was off, and I was cranking the engine, and of course, I disconnected a couple of wires, spark plug wires, to do this for some reason, and not realizing that as the valves are going up and down, gasoline is sort of being spewed out. And I remember the spark that came and blew my head off.
Oh, that explains a lot.
You know, do you remember that day?
I do. I remember looking for your eyebrows on the shop floor and not being able to find them.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
And so that's what I would remember about you if I were remembering something stupid that you did. And what would you remember about me?
Well, I mean, the first thing that came to mind was the day you dropped the car off the lift.
Oh, that. How did I know it was going to come to that? How did I know?
It was a mistake that anyone could have made.
Well, you know.
Luckily, it wasn't my car or your car. It was a customer's car. I'm sorry, an ex-customer's car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he soon became an ex-customer. It was kind of sad, even though the insurance company, I thought, was pretty generous. And I think what made him angry and what made us lose him as a customer.
You charged them for the repair that you were trying to make.
No. I should have, huh?
I would have at least tried.
No,
your car is over there on the floor upside down, and you owe us $75 for the brake job.
I remember just before it fell, I had discovered the source of one of his leaks or something. And then as the car slid off the lift to its ultimate demise, I was elated that I wasn't under it when it happened.
Sure.
And I remember when I called him on the phone to tell him what had happened, I started it off, you know.
Did you start laughing?
Innocently. I said, yeah, I found you. I fixed the short in your wipers, and I found the oil leak, and I was about to fix that, then the car fell off the lift. And he, excuse me? And then I started to laugh, and I couldn't stop.
Of course, how could you not?
And I was laughing because of my good fortune that I could have been under that car. I could have been one with the car and the concrete floor. And, yeah. And the fact that I wasn't made me kind of giddy.
Well, and it would.
Ticked him off. Oh, boy. Anyway, so those are our little confessions. But look, if other listeners have things they'd like to get off their chest, you know, clear their conscience of or get something off the books, go to our website, cartalk.com, and tell us about it.
Do you remember, this was on one of our CDs, I think, the girl who croaked her father's engine driving to a party four hours away with the oil light on? She was in college when that happened.
I do remember.
And then she gave it back to him and said, gee, Dad, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
10 years later, she called us to confess.
And, of course, what did we do? We immediately called her father.
Of course. I remember
And he grounded her for, like, her 30s. Anyway, if you've got a question about your car or a confession about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Whoa. Hello, who's this?
Wow.
This is Sarah.
Hi,
Sarah. I'm guessing there's no H at the end of it.
You are not correct.
Oh, darn.
Where are you from, Sarah?
Bloomington, Illinois.
Bloomington.
We've heard of it.
But I'm moving from my fair city, Bloomington, to Tucson, Arizona.
Oh.
Now, I've done some saving, but I don't have a job yet. And I don't want to spend all of my money on a truck. And I have a Saturn SL195, and I'm wondering if I can put a hitch on it and put a little trailer on it. Like, how safe is that going to be? Is my car going to make it, or is my car just going to be exhausted and quit at the end of the trip?
Hmm. Jeez. How much stuff are you going to put in the trailer?
Well, I don't have a whole lot.
Any sofas?
No.
Washing machines?
No.
Grand pianos?
No.
Upright pianos?
Nope.
Oh, so just a stereo and a bunch of little stuff.
Mostly books, dishes, clothes, tons of shoes.
Are these your books?
Yeah.
So you need them when you get there.
I'm
You're
so
students?
Much older than I sound. I'm 28. I have a whole library and a master's degree, and I don't want to get rid of my books.
No, but if they didn't get there when you did, it wouldn't be the end.
Oh,
if they got there,
no.
Like,
no,
4 months
all.
Later, would it be all right?
Fine with me.
Because you can send them ninth class mail and... You know, they'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'll do that for the books, but I'm still thinking that I'll need a trailer because of space in the car.
How big a trailer do you think you'll need?
Well, the smallest possible because my car has no power.
Right, so it's going to be like a 6-foot trailer.
Yeah.
Do you have to go over mountains to get to Arizona?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go you could if you go the northern route, but I'm going to go the southern route, which is through Oklahoma City,
through Mexico, through
Louisiana.
God, I should have sneak up on it from the south.
I thought I'd hit North Carolina. Yeah. But it's 55 south in Illinois, you know, prairie state. There's not much to deal with there.
Yeah, so it's
flat.
And
then 44 west through Oklahoma City, and then it's 40 west through Santa Fe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's not, yeah, that's the southern route.
Yeah.
I think you're going to make it. I have good feelings about it.
Oh, really?
The only thing I worry about is snow.
Yeah, I was kind of concerned about that, too.
You're going to do this in the winter.
Yeah.
Because trailers in the snow, oh, awful. I mean, it's, you know, because it's so easy for the thing to break away and start coming sideways and go past you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've done it.
Yeah, when you see a U-Haul trailer passing you.
It's yours. It's your bike, isn't it?
Can't be good.
Yeah, so no, the wind is actually the bigger concern. You know,
yeah.
in high winds, high crosswinds are always dangerous because it will not just blow the trailer around, it'll blow your car around.
Well, see, and that's the thing. That's my main concern, is my car just not having the oomph to do this.
No, it's not so much oomph as it is weight.
Okay.
You know, it's a little car.
Ooh, can I weight my car down with books?
then it won't have any power to pull the trailer.
Okay, point taken.
No, I think you can make it. I think get the smallest trailer you can get for your stuff. Have the car's belts and hoses and, you know, whatnot checked out.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
And you have to promise me that you won't leave if the weather is bad or predicted to be bad. And if it turns bad, you won't drive that trailer on some big highway with the wind blowing and snow coming down like crazy.
Well, I don't think I'd be allowed to leave because my whole family is going to be there. yeah. when I leave. So they would
would say, Sarah, we're going to tie you up.
You're sitting here for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget, you could always hunker down someplace for a day or two if it gets bad along the way.
Yeah, you have to promise to do that. Otherwise, we can't give you our imprimatur.
Okay, I promise to watch the weather very carefully.
And don't ever park someplace that you have to back out of.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, no, don't do that.
That's bad enough without a trailer.
Is it?
Yeah. See you, Sarah.
Hey, good
Thank
luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have Bye, fun bud. In Tucson.
I will.
We never asked you why you're going there.
Oh, my gosh, because it's beautiful.
That's a good enough reason.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Enjoy every minute of it.
I will.
Especially
Thank
the 120 degree summer weather. See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. She does sound very young, doesn't she?
She isn't, though. She says she's 28.
That's very young.
Yeah, it sure is. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227. You've been 28 a few times.
823.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gabriel in Manhattan.
What's shaking?
Well, I actually don't have a car, but
you
I'm going to be buying one.
Why? You live in Manhattan.
Well, I'm a jazz musician. I play the drums.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm just tired of schlepping my gear through the subways.
Yeah, that's a real pain.
How do you do that?
It's
you take a whole drum set through the subway? No.
It's a pretty convoluted process involving levers and pulleys and things like that.
Yeah, you deflate the drums and then fill them with water later. What? Yeah, so, oh, man, not only do you need a car, you need a car that'll fit a drum set.
How many different clubs do you play at?
I don't know, five or
I can see where
six.
My brother's going, and he's, as usual, a genius.
I would buy six sets
you
of drums.
You could buy six sets of drums. It'd be a lot cheaper than a car. Exactly.
Just donate them.
And you'd be a hero, man. Everyone else who played these cars, they'd be, hey, Gabe's, we're playing Gabe's drums, man. Who is this guy, Gabe? Yeah, you could even charge him a little rent. Say, look, give me $20 a week for the use of the drums.
That'd be a great tax deduction, too.
I'm telling you, I love the idea of buying six sets of drums. I mean, think of the discount you'd get. Now, what is a set of drums? A good set of drums cost? It's going to be a couple of K, huh?
Yeah, $1,000 to $2,000. If you want to get a really serious set, it's going to be probably $3,000, $3,500.
Oh, you need a serious set of drums. The drums are very important in jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're playing rock and roll, they can give you a couple of 2x4s and a hammer.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't make much difference.
Yeah. And one of those containers that carries putty in it.
Joint compound buckets. So you really want to get a car, huh? Is that the question you want us to answer? You don't like our solution, huh?
Well, it's one I'll put into the think tank. But the question I had was that, you know, I'm going to buy used, and I'm going around, you know, and kind of pounding the pavement and looking at cars, and I read this tip the other day that I thought was pretty clever, and it said that, you know, when you're looking at used cars, always check the radio. And if all the presets are tuned to rock and roll stations, then there's a good bet that the transmission is shot.
I love it.
Sure.
And so I was wondering, I thought, well, this is a clever little rule of thumb, you know, to kind of carry around. And I thought you guys might have a few more maybe similar tips or tricks or tests.
Well, you know who authored that very piece of advice? We did.
You did?
Yeah.
Yes. We have a pamphlet on how to buy a used car, and that's one of the tips.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So someone's been listening to that head-banging music, and you know that the transmission's shot, the brakes are shot, the thing's going to be a jalopy. You want to find someone who's got those stations set to nice, calm, like NPR and classical music
and
stations.
And jazz.
And jazz, yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, jazz.
So was that the question? Should you abide by this piece of advice? Of course
you
should.
Well, the question was, do you have any more similar things like that, little rules of thumb, things that you would always do when you're out looking at a used car to check this or kick the tires that or something to that effect?
Well, you should also buy a car that's going to suit the kind of driving you do most of the time.
Well, the one I'm kind of centered on right now is a Honda Civic hatchback.
That big enough?
Well, the drums will fit. I mean,
they
jazz
will.
Drums are really small.
Yeah.
Is that a car that, I mean, how late back do you think I can go and you know, an 87 and 89 and still have it working on me?
Well, it's not when you're going back that far, even when you just go back anything over like 4 years back,
mm-hmm.
means that there's no way you're going to be able to be guaranteed that it's okay.
Sure.
So no matter what it is, if it's more than 4 years old, you really have to take it to a mechanic to have it checked out.
Okay.
If there's just one thing we would tell you, that's what it is. Don't ever trust yourself. Don't ever trust the friend that you claim that claims he knows all about cars. And above all, don't ever trust the guy who's selling it to you.
Yeah.
Even when they say it's been through the 306-point check.
Yeah, and if he suggests that you take it to his guy to check it out, run.
Okay, yeah.
Sounds good. But a Honda Civic hatch is perfect. It's a small car. It's easy to park, and you can get any year you want, anything you can afford.
Yeah.
See you, Gabriel.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's time to take a break, and when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler.
You bet we will.
Do you happen to remember it?
You bet I don't.
Well, I'll give you a hint. It was about something that goes on your head.
Paper bag?
Yeah, we should be so lucky. No, the puzzler was about hats.
Oh, and prisoners.
Right, and we'll have the whole story and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Everybody has a story of first love. Maybe she was sent from above. But you realize, Mr. Wynn, you see mine. First loves were only made from 64 to 69. When I got her, her leaf springs were broke. She was full of leaves and billowed out smoke. First time I sat in her, I felt an itch in my pants. From the floorboard to my legs was a trail of fire ants. She was real neglected. Everybody has a story of first love. Maybe she was sent from above. Will you realize, Mr. Wynn, you see mine. First loves were only made from 64 to 69.
And even though bottle genies insist the first two wishes be used to make us disappear, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from my Prisoner and Hat series of puzzles, and it was sent in by someone named David Young. I think he must have stolen it from Clink and Who's Gal magazine. But anyway, here it is. It's Christmas Day, and the warden calls three prisoners into his office, you know, and he tells them, in honor of the holiday, one of you is going to have a chance to get out of here. Other than the traditional way of, you know, tunneling. And here's the deal. I'm going to line you up single file and blindfold you. And after I blindfold you, I'm going to put hats on your heads. And I have in my possession here three white hats and two black hats. Got it? Three white, two black. But I'm only going to use three of them, obviously. So each of you is going to be wearing either a black hat or a white hat. And the first person to guess what color hat he has on gets released. Of course, bear in mind, if you guess wrong, you get thrown into solitary confinement for the next year, and you'll be listening to an endless loop of car talk. So nobody's going to guess unless they know for sure. So he lines them up, blindfolds them, and puts a hat on each of them, and then he removes the blindfold. Since they're in a line, the guy in the back can see the two people in front of him.
And their hats.
And, of course, their hats. And the fellow in the middle can see just the one in front of him, and the guy in front can see nobody. So the warden says to the fellow in the back, the last guy, we'll call him prisoner number three, can you tell me what color your hat is? The fellow in the back says nothing. He doesn't know. The fellow in the middle, we'll call him prisoner number two, is asked the same question. Can you tell me what color your hat is? He, too, is unable to answer. The guy in the very front, who can see no hats, he's staring at the wall, don't forget. He says, I know what color hat I'm wearing.
Of course he knows.
What color was his hat and how did he know?
It was white.
Yeah.
And he knew because the other two guys didn't know.
That's right. If prisoner number three had seen two black hats,
he'd know his was white.
He'd know his was white because there were only two black hats available to the
right.
warden. And because he said nothing, he must have seen either two white hats or a black and a white.
Exactly.
If prisoner number two had seen a black hat in front of him, he would have known that, in fact, he was wearing a white hat.
Exactly.
Because if he had a black hat on, then the guy at
prisoner
the very
number
back...
Prisoner 3 would have known that he had a white one.
And because he didn't say anything and prisoner number 2 didn't say anything, then prisoner number 1, who could see nothing, knew
exactly.
He had a white hat. And he was going to be home for Christmas. So who's our winner?
I think that was a wonderful puzzler, especially since I figured it out while you were saying it.
Oh, yeah, Dougie figured it out, too. That was the only thing that made me worry.
The winner this week is Charlie Brown. Charles Brown from Brookville, Pennsylvania. And for having his answer selected at random from among all those correct answers that we got, too. Charlie is going to get from us a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, where he can get a lovely ash-gray Dewey Cheatham & Howe t-shirt featuring an exact replica of our window in Harvard Square, minus the air conditioner, you know.
Well, look, since he's in Helsinki, that $26 is barely going to cover the shipping. Anyway, we'll have a brand-new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't touch that dial, but right now, if you have a question about your car... Touch the dial. No, just kidding. Call 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello,
yeah.
Who's this?
This is Dave from Westover.
Westover what?
Westover, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. What's up?
Okay, I got an 81 Jeep J10 pickup truck.
Yeah.
I noticed that the front wheel bearing was grinding. I jacked it up. I tried to get the hub off. I took off all the thousands of bolts and little rings and all inside there. And I can't get the rotor off.
Yeah, because it's rusted.
I tried everything. I even put a torch to it, and the thing caught on fire. But I got the fire out, and it's been sitting up on blocks now for the last 2 weeks.
You didn't use a hammer.
Oh, I put the tire. Some guy told me down the road. He said, put the tire on and beat the tire with the hammer, with a sledgehammer. Well, I beat the tire with the sledgehammer. Of course, if you don't hit the rim and hit the tire, the sledgehammer is going to come back at you.
Yeah, you got a lot of lumps in your forehead that way. No, you're best off hitting the disc rotor directly.
But it has a shield behind it, except for in one little spot.
Well, you can bend that shield out of the way. That's just a mud shield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact.
You want to give that a couple of belts.
Okay.
Now, you say when you heated it up with a torch, what kind of a torch
are
you?
Oh, it was just a little plumber's torch.
That's no good.
Yeah.
You need oxyacetylene.
Oh, well, I don't have one of them yet.
Well, I know, but...
Someone does.
But, yeah. But think of the opportunity here. You're going to get a chance to buy yourself a new piece of equipment.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would trust me with one of them.
Yeah, because you need some real heat here.
Okay.
And a little propane torch is not going to give it.
No, the fact of the matter is that you've got to break the rust bond, and the way you do that is by heating up one piece in relation to the piece that it's bonded to.
Right.
And when you
and
do
the expansion breaks the rust.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And with the problem with using a little propane torch,
right,
is that this thing is such a great heat sink that it's sucking up the heat faster than you can put it out.
And so it never really heats up.
You want this thing to get cherry red.
Red. Right. Yeah, man.
And then when you hit it, it'll fall right off.
Okay.
And don't is the thing parked near the house?
I have a farm, and it's up on the hill a little bit. I use it for the farm.
Well, make sure the wind is blowing in the right direction when the thing catches fire, because you don't want to spread the fire toward your house. You want it to go toward the fields.
Well,
but I would first use a good-sized sledgehammer.
Right.
And whack the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, then you're going to have to find someone who's got an oxyacetylene torch.
Okay, I think the guy down the road's got one.
But you would be amazed at how well products like Liquid Wrench work if given enough time to penetrate.
Oh, I've used that. I've used the other. There's all the other stuff on the market, everything. And it's on there, believe me.
Well, I would spray the stuff on there. And you may find out that some morning you'll just walk out and the rotor will be lying there on the ground.
Yeah,
it'll
right.
just have fallen off by itself.
Well, I'll be praising God and you guys if that happens, because I'll tell you what, this has been a nightmare. Because I use the truck every day. I did anyway, not now. But
yeah. No, but you need to. Well, the alternative is that you get the thing into town and have somebody at a gas station heat this thing up and beat on it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, well, nobody in my area wants to work on the front end of an old truck.
You may have to get it to a Jeep dealer and find some mechanic there that has only 3 or 4 teeth left. He'll be old enough to work on it.
You know? Yeah, maybe Pittsburgh. Maybe that's where I have yeah. to go. I don't know.
But you'll get this thing off, and don't be afraid to hit it. And bend that dust shield out of the way.
Well, that was my whole problem. I was scared to hit it because I heard all these stories. You know, my dad called up from Jersey and says, oh, you're going to crack the rotor. You're going to crack
well,
the rotor.
Well, you may end off replacing the rotor, but they're cheap enough.
Well, that's fine. I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as it comes off.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it doesn't come off, you're dead in the water.
Absolutely. I've been there. Yes.
Yeah, and pretty soon they're going to have 4 feet of snow out there, so you better do something soon. See you, Dave.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathy from Ferndale, Washington.
Hi,
Ferndale,
Hi,
Washington. That would be Kathy with a K.
Yes, it would be.
I wrote it with a K. I just,
In fact,
I always write it with a K now that I think of it. What's going on, Kathy?
Well, I have a 2001 Volvo S80, which I love dearly. But a friend of mine was in my car when we were driving around one day.
Male or female?
Male.
Male.
And
close friend?
Well, work friend.
Okay, all right.
And
right now.
Excuse me?
Right now?
Yes.
Are we hoping
so
for...
So far, so good.
Okay, all right.
But we're not... Is either of us hoping for a closer friendship?
No. He's married. Just a friend.
All right.
And you?
Not married.
Not married.
Not looking.
Would you like to be a friend with me?
Well, certainly. That would be cool. We were driving around, and he said I was shifting wrong. Now, obviously, I have an automatic transmission, and I just... When I get in the car... I put it in reverse and drive out of the driveway, and then I put it in drive, and I drive forward, and that's the end of it as far as I thought.
Yeah.
But he was saying that if I'm
I just want you to know.
What?
He's wrong.
But I haven't told you what it is
Doesn't
yet.
Doesn't matter.
I am so glad you said that, because I told, my son said that you would say it was bogus.
All right, well, let's hear the whole story, and we'll find out if Tommy's right.
All right. Anyway, he said that if I was driving at less than 40 miles an hour, I should be in third gear. And that the reason was that if I was in drive and I slowed down and then I speeded up, that these thingies in the transmission would break.
The thingies?
Yeah, I don't know what they are. It reminded me of rubber bands, but I don't think Volvo has rubber bands.
Well, they have bands.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Okay, well, would it break if I'm in drive instead of third?
What did I say?
You said he was wrong.
He is wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. So I'm not doing any damage to the car by driving it in drive?
No.
You're doing exactly what the manufacturer suggests that you do.
Well, okay. Well, here's a second question related to that. After he told me this, I thought, well, let me try it and see. Because I don't want to wreck my transmission.
Sure.
So I went out one day, and I put it in third instead of drive. And then I got on the freeway and forgot it was in third. And all of a sudden, the engine was kind of grindy. And so then I panicked, and I shifted. But I ended up shifting into second instead of drive. And I thought, and the car didn't like it at all.
Then the engine really revved up.
Oh, it did. Then I freaked out and said, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? And
ended up
popping it back into drive.
Oh.
Did I do damage doing that?
No.
Oh, good.
Probably not.
No, you didn't. I mean, with all the electronic controls that modern transmissions have, first of all, and engines, it really is, these transmissions are more automatic than ever. So you just put the thing in D and you drive it.
Oh, cool.
The only time that you would have to downshift is if you were descending a long hill. Then you would have to make the decision to downshift to a lower gear to allow the engine to act as a brake.
Exactly. And I do that if I'm going up a steep hill, too.
You don't have to. It figures it out.
It will do that all by itself.
Then?
Yeah.
Ah, so I'm not doing anything bad by just doing it into drive right away.
The only thing you're doing wrong is giving this jerk a ride home.
Just do it like Ron Popeil. Just set it and forget it.
Oh, cool.
But do remember, if you're going down a long hill, you don't want to keep your foot on the brake all the way down.
No.
And if you put it into three or two even, then it will keep it at a nice, reasonable speed.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's going to be a pretty steep hill.
Okay.
You know, and for most people, it just never comes into play.
Okay.
But you're doing exactly the right thing.
Wonderful.
And just when he's in the car, say, yeah, sure, okay.
I'll mention that to him.
All right, Kathy.
Yeah.
See you later.
If he wants to duke it out, let him call us.
Okay.
see you, Kathy.
Thank you.
We better both go to the gym that day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Dave from Birmingham, Alabama.
What's going on, Dave?
Birmingham.
I have a 1996 Passat turbo diesel, manual transmission, and I've come up with a way to generate power from my house and I want to know if I'm actually going to ruin my car.
Probably. Whatever it is, the answer is probably. But go ahead. I see it now.
It involves a generator.
Well, yeah, and it sort of runs like a dynamometer, but in reverse.
Yeah.
In other words, I've got two rollers that one of the car tires sits on, and as I put it in second gear and let the clutch out, it just rotates at idle speed.
Uh-huh.
But that's enough with a belting system that I can turn a generator at 3,600 RPMs and generate power for my house.
Yeah.
So you've got one tire turning this drum, basically.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good.
So and when we had Ivan that came through, we lost power for 4 days, and for a quarter tank of diesel fuel, I powered the house.
That's pretty good. What do you do for a living, Dave?
I'm a professor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Mechanical engineering department?
Now, actually, I'm a physiologist, so I try to study things that work from the biological standpoint.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, 10,000 mice on a treadmill would bump the same thing.
It's hard to get them coordinated, though.
It is hard to get them all stroking at the same time.
That's right.
Jeez, well, I admire your, what do you call it, inventiveness.
Well, yeah. actually, this thing was patented back in 1955, and they didn't have cruise control back then, so they described how long to cut the 2x4 to hold the engine at a particular speed by forcing it between the front seat and the gas pedal. But now we have cruise control and other things, and it works very well.
Yeah, the only I guess there's not a huge problem with doing this. This is only a two-wheel drive car.
That's right.
And because you have conventional differential, it probably is not. If it's something you were doing every day, I'd say the chances are very good that you would eat up the spider gears in the differential.
Uh-huh.
And there's still a chance that you can do that. I don't know how heavy-duty they are.
But still, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, it might only cost you like $4,500 to replace them when they go.
And you could not do any damage to the spider gears if you put a twin of this generator on the other side of the car.
Yeah, and couple them with the drive shaft.
Couple them, exactly.
Oh, right, so both wheels.
Both wheels are turning at the same speed.
Okay.
So where did you get all the paraphernalia to do this?
Oh, well, I had a friend here help me build this. And
how much
just
did you have to steal from the university?
Well, actually, you know, this generator came from another vehicle that I had, an old diesel truck, that I learned back in the late 80s, listening to you guys on my way out to Woods Hole, that bacteria get in the diesel fuel and they eat it up, and pretty soon you're running on bacterial excrement.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And my power was going down and my fuel economy was going down, which made no sense. So I learned actually just to put something in there to kill that. But I had that truck and the generator that went in the compartment of the engine.
Ah.
And when I sold the truck, I didn't know what to do with the generator, so I just made this little roller system.
Sure.
Well, I think it's great.
It's
But I think if you have twin generators here or some way to drive so you link both of the drums together,
yeah,
so that the both front wheels are turning, then you have no chance whatsoever of eating up the differential. And that's really the only thing I'm worried about, that you're going to eat up the what's called the spider gears.
What you want to do is get both wheels turning at the same speed.
Right.
Or close enough to it so it doesn't make a difference. But because you're having one turn and the other not turn at all, I think that has the potential to be injurious.
Okay.
That's expensive.
Yeah, oh, it's going to cost you. It would cost you thousands to fix it.
Yeah, right now it's rather inexpensive to have this little thing because I don't have an extra internal combustion engine that I have to run every few months.
Yeah,
and
sure.
When it's done, I just roll it up against the garage wall and it's done.
It's great.
Yeah, and if you get this thing working really well, you know, you can pump electricity back into the grid and have your meter turn backwards. Yeah, I can tell you're going to be working on this as soon as you hang up.
Right. That's great.
Well, Dave, keep up the good work. It's guys like you that make America great.
I prefer bicycling than riding, but when it comes to it, I do have to take the vehicle once in a while.
Good for you. Thanks for your call.
All right, thanks.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Pretty clever, huh?
You ain't just a whistling Dixie. Oh, man.
Well, look, before we get into the new puzzler, I have to stretch my legs.
Yeah, stretch mine too. I'm so tired.
We'll be back with a rousing new puzzler in just a minute, so don't go away.
Transmission problems, most every gear. Don't hardly stop, don't hardly steer. The wheels are coming off the Cadillac estate. Hey, motor pool, get off your stools. Set up a couple crews and a whole bunch of tools.
my ride ain't cold. Some precious poor points when my ride ain't cold.
And even though the NPR commissioner wonders if we're on performance-decreasing drugs whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new non-automotive puzzle.
I can hardly wait.
I didn't have a better descriptor than that.
That's good enough.
Here it is.
Yeah.
I'll try to make it brief. You notice the puzzles of late have been rather lengthy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try to make this one short. Well,
the more lengthy, the more opportunity for obfuscation. See, that's the thing.
Of course.
If you give a one-sentence puzzle, you're hard-pressed to work in bicycles in the north of England and all. Yeah, you're hard-pressed to do that.
You would think so.
In one sentence.
Well, here it is.
Yeah.
A woman and her husband frequently go walking together. On this day, they walked side by side, one never getting ahead of the other. In other words, they kept abreast of one another. And as a matter of fact, they could have held hands the whole time. Okay? And they walked for an hour. At the end of the hour, the woman says, "Boy, that felt good. I think I walked 4 miles. And the husband says, "Oh, I walked much farther than that. I'm sure I walked 5 or 6. How could that be? So yeah. She walked 4 miles and was pretty certain of that.
Yeah.
And he was pretty certain when he said, "Oh, no, I walked much more than that. I'm pretty sure I walked 5 or 6.
And, of course, they're both right. I guess that's the puzzler, right?
Well, my question was, how could this be? Now, yeah. If you think you know the answer.
I do.
I'm sure but you won't next week.
No, I won't.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
By the way, you know, if you have a potential puzzler that you'd like to send us and you might be a little bit reluctant because you feel it doesn't measure up to our high standards. don't be discouraged. We can declarify and obfuscate any puzzler into greatness. So if you got something that you say, "Geez, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't think they." Don't worry, we can fix it.
You could actually say that with a straight face.
Well, I could have if you hadn't started laughing. Look, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Rick calling from Kahakaloa on the island of Maui. How are you guys doing?
Oh,
hi, Rick.
Rick.
My dilemma is this. I have an 89 Corolla, and about 3 weeks ago, the CV boot ripped apart on it, and it spewed the grease all around the inside of the wheel well. And I want your advice on whether or not you think this is a good idea. I want to try and put – well, I need the car to last till June 8th. I'm a high school chemistry teacher.
Yeah.
And I need it to last to the end of the
school
year.
Wait, is your question going to involve duct tape?
No duct tape. Ah. I got a different idea. I thought about duct tape, but this my latest idea is if I take vegetable oil –
no.
And once a week or twice a week, just pour some onto the top of the CV to lubricate it. Do you think the CV is going to last, or am I going to have to bite the bullet and pull this whole thing off just to replace this boot?
What kind of vegetable oil?
Well, olive oil or vegetable oil, whatever's cheapest, I think. And the reason for that is I don't want to – I thought about motor oil, but I don't want to be pouring, you know, motor oil and have it end up on the ocean. And
yeah.
So the boot is completely torn open?
Yeah.
There were a zipper boot.
There is.
There you go.
There is a zipper boot. Yeah. I don't know
it's a Mickey Mouse operation, but I think it must work.
It can go around like the outside of the boot and cover it up? Or
well, you will remove the broken boot, okay? Uh-huh. And then you will have this other boot. If for people who don't know what this boot is, it's the original boot that is broken was a one-piece thing with a hole at each end, which necessitates disassembling the axle
and
refit a new one.
The holes are for the axle.
Yeah, I looked in the book, and that was a project there.
Oh, it's a project.
Yeah, it is. I mean, taking the axle out and then taking it apart is a little difficult. But these zipper boots have the same two holes to accommodate the large and small end of the axle, but at the same time, they have a split down the boot lengthwise.
Okay.
So that you can wrap it around the axle.
And then close the zipper up. And they accomplish the zippering with various devices,
like
some of which
staples.
staples and duct tape, I think. And they're all kind of only temporary, but that's what you want is temporary.
Well, yeah, I only drive 9 miles each way to work.
Oh, don't you have a bicycle?
I do, you know, I sometimes I do ride the bicycle, but I got to tell you, it's I live at 1,000-foot elevation, and where I work is at sea level, so going to work is real easy. It's the coming home part that presents a little
bit. What
happens after June 8th?
After June 8th?
School's out.
Well, the school year is over, and I'm thinking about doing some life changes, but that's a whole other separate story.
Okay.
But I
so you would get rid of the car then? Oh, that seems like it's likely.
I think so. It's got 180,000 miles on it.
Does your life change involve moving out of Hawaii? Moving from
it does actually.
What,
can we sublet your apartment? By the way, you don't. If your goal is to just get this thing to go up to June,
uh-huh.
If you can't find one of these zipper boots or whatever you'd call the thing, retro boot, you can just buy yourself a container of CV grease
and pack it in.
By hand. Essentially, you'd be shoving it in there. It'll be obvious where it goes.
Will that work its way into the CV joint itself?
Absolutely. You'll shove the stuff into the joint, and as you do that, you'll, in a sense, push some of the old grease out, which has gotten filled with dirt and whatnot. But you
grease
can pack the grease in there. But if you can find one of these boots, if you can't, call us. We'll send you one.
Okay.
Good luck, Rick.
Thanks for the help.
All right.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you know what time it is now?
Time to put the woolen booties on the MG?
No.
How about the cement booties?
It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we dig up a previous caller and find out if our advice was actually helpful.
Or what charges we're facing. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's a woman named Hoppy from Bethel, Alaska. Remember Hoppy?
Sure. We asked her how she spelled her name, where she got her name, why she was crazy enough to live in Alaska, all that stuff.
You don't remember a thing about her car, do you?
She had a car?
No, a truck.
Oh.
This is Alaska, man. Hoppy called us last year because she had replaced the starter motor on her 89 Mazda pickup 3 times, and still it wouldn't start.
A drunk man on the street suggested that it was my solenoid that was getting zapped by an electrical problem, and then a sober man suggested the same thing, totally separately.
What happens when you try to start it now?
It just cranks over and over and over and never starts.
What do you mean crank? It goes wah, 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 wah? No.
Exactly.
It does.
Well, that's not...
Then you don't... That means
the
starter's working.
That's the only thing that's working.
Yeah, you don't have any problem with the starter.
But everybody who walks into my driveway when I'm trying to start my car, they all say, your starter's gone.
Well, then you know what? I'm going with that.
I'm not.
I'm going with it 100%.
They're a bunch of crazies.
Well, they may be a bunch of crazies and a bunch of drunks, but I'm going to think that the average person on the street, and you've got, these are unsolicited pieces of advice. These are just drunk stumbling by.
Well, as they say, in vino veritas.
So is that what we actually told her? That all the drunks were right and it was the starter motor?
Well, no, because she gave us one more important bit of information later on in the call.
Uh-huh.
That it was making a grinding noise when she tried to start it, so we zeroed in on the flywheel as the culprit.
Oh, great. Well, let's see how we did. Hoppy, are you there?
Yeah, Vino Veritas.
Vino Veritas.
That should be the trade name of a wine, I think. Right? Anyway, before we find out what happened, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that correct?
That is accurate.
Okay, and also that the answer you're about to give here on Stump to Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by that 10-gallon jug of hangover helper that we sent you.
Or the shampoo that's mostly alcohol. Right, no, it has not been influenced.
So, was it the flywheel?
Well, let me tell you what our genius local mechanic, Ed, figured out.
Ed.
He took out the transmission. Mm. He replaced the starter ring gear, R-I-N-G gear.
Yeah, that is the flywheel.
It goes on the flywheel on the back of the engine.
That's it.
Hey!
There you go, huh?
So is Ed also the local taxidermist? So if he can't fix it, he'll stuff it for you?
I didn't try it yet, but it's possible. I'll give him a call.
So he didn't replace the flywheel per se, but he replaced the piece on the flywheel that is was responsible for the grinding noise.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The ring gear. And that's easy, right? Are you happy now?
Well, my bank account isn't happy, but my car has worked for September, October, 2 months, 2 or 3 months, and that's a record.
Pretty good.
It'll probably work for 20 years with that.
So, Hoppy, are you ready for winter?
Oh, I am. I just insulated the chicken coop yesterday, and a friend is insulating a bunny house for me. So once that's done, I'm ready.
Who's going to insulate you?
Winter in Cambridge?
Who's insulating you? You going to get insulated?
Everybody in Alaska walks around with lots of insulation.
Oh, the vino, the Veritas vino does that.
Well, Hoppy, it's a pleasure talking to you again. And I know you're crazy living up there, but that's your business.
And thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Hoppy.
Well, I look forward to you visiting someday. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or you can call and probably stump us right now. Most do. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rich from Morristown, New Jersey.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Morristown.
Yes.
I've been there.
What's going on, Rich?
I recently was given a 1974 Bricklin from my father-in-law/dentist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and the problem is I don't really
He must have bought this when his practice was going real good, right? I guess we should explain that the Bricklin was a sports car.
Yep.
And it looked kind of like an early DeLorean. You know, it had those gull-wing doors. And my recollection is they got, like, horrible mileage, and the doors weighed about a gazillion pounds, and they leaked.
Yeah, the problem is I'm more of a Prius guy, and I don't really like this, and I don't dare insult him.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how to let him down.
Oh, so you haven't actually taken ownership of the car yet?
I have, and now it's leaking oil and gas in my driveway.
Oh, they came from the factory like that.
Wait, where does your father-in-law/dentist live in relation to you?
About 5 miles away.
Oh, jeez.
Bummer! So what made him think, you must have somehow given him the idea that you like this car.
I don't know. I think he was just divesting of his worldly possessions.
Oh,
and he had no place else to go.
He's
going to
become a Tibetan monk.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, this is just what he needs if he's going to be a Tibetan monk. We all have Bricklins.
It's a prerequisite.
Yeah. And now I'm afraid that if I sell it, he's going to drive by and go, where's the Bricklin?
Yeah.
I think the best thing you can hope for is either a fire or a theft.
I could leave the keys in it.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to take it someplace where it's vulnerable.
Yeah,
so I think, Rich, that you need to start driving this thing more.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's a good idea.
And every place you go, you hang the keys on the door.
Yeah, any chance that your father-in-law listens to the show? Because if he does, you're dead.
Oh, I'm dead meat. He's going to drill holes in my head. He's my dentist.
He's a dentist. That's right.
Oh, yeah. You don't go to him, do you?
I do. Oh, yeah. He's my dentist. Plus, he's an Army. He was an Army sharpshooter. I'm in big trouble.
Oh, you are in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, what were you thinking?
I had no choice. It's my, it's my wife's father. And she said, guess what? You're getting the Bricklin. I went,
and he
oh,
said,
boy.
Oh, great.
Oh, great.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, this is bad.
This is indeed a dilemma, but a short of fire and theft, what else could we...
Mm.
Yeah, maybe it could become part of a magic act, or, make something disappear and doesn't come back. The other possibility is it's involved in a serious accident.
Well, it was originally a safety vehicle. I'd probably bounce off of things.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's a nice car, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you guys want to buy it?
No.
No.
It could park very nicely next to the MG.
Bugsy will buy it. We'll ask Bugsy, because Bugsy collects cars.
What if you...
Bugs, are you interested in a 74 Bricklin?
He just ran out of the room. You know what you could do, however? You could donate it to some, like, charity auction.
Oh.
Yeah, is it in good shape?
Yeah, other than the puddles of oil and
gas.
Yeah,
you don't need to divulge that, though, Richard.
Yeah, that's true.
When you bring it for the auction, you just drain the oil.
It just put a little kitty litter underneath?
You can strap a little thing of kitty litter underneath it, so it leaks right into that, you know, into the little container.
Yeah, isn't it? This is funny. I mean, what do you do when you get a gift that you don't want?
And he really meant well by it.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
It was very sweet of him.
It's very gracious, but sort of a backhanded compliment.
Sort of like all the Christmas gifts that I give my wife.
We won't go there. Rich, good luck, man.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Geez. Well, it's happened again. You squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blücher. Thank you, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Zimbabwe Ziti Zucchini and Zambaglione Invitational, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzov. Our accounts payable clerk from the Ukrainian division is Imelda Chekhov. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet.
Obi Quiet.
Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Arovindo. Our staff dermatologist is Ivan Ofelich. Ivan Ofelich. Get it?
No, I didn't.
My puzzler assistant is Norma Lee Bogus. Our, our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our Latin American bull... Oh, no. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the not-yet-published novelist serving macchiatos in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, a friend will help you move, but a really good friend will help you move a body. And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1049, swashbuckle through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, it's time to help your station and tuck it to the IRS.
That's Thomas speaking, Mr. Commissioner. What he means is that the end of the year is a great time to donate an older car to your station through the perfectly legal Car Talk vehicle donation program.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Instead of getting 5 cents on a trade-in, you can turn your old car into hours of All Things Considered or Morning Edition.
I can do that with my car?
No, your car turns into the emergency broadcast signal. Help your station, get a tax deduction, and get rid of your old car all at once, all at the same time. Get more info at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though classical music listeners get ear cramps whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.